welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So this morning, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to look at a few different passages of scriptures. I'm just going to kind of read through them, and then we'll kind of retrace a little bit and kind of get a theme of where we're going this morning. We're going to look at a couple psalms to begin with here. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Praise God. Those are some beautiful heart cries that you can see from the psalmist, because he's been where we've all been. Those places where our heart is overwhelmed, but he sees that there is a place to go. Jesus told his disciples this shortly before he went to the cross. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we see his peace. He's left something with us here, his peace. And then finally, just to look at this wonderful truth in God's word, for Jesus doesn't change. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, he's always totally himself. I like the way the message puts that. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I want to take a look at some of these scriptures together, because it's important as we look at some of these psalms, these very comforting, powerful psalms, where the psalmist is getting in some of these different inflection points and he's going, I need God. You know, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. No matter what I see, no matter what I hear, God is there. Very present help. I mean, that's some strong language. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, you can tell that his mind is made up. It's not even so much about imagining that, it's just that his heart is fixed, that no matter what, I'm trusting God. No matter what, he's a very present help. And then same here too, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, the math isn't working in my head. I don't understand. I don't know what to do next. But I know that there is a rock that is higher than I. And of course, when Jesus talks about his peace then, that's the peace he leaves with us. That peace is with us. He's left it here to be a part of our lives. When I think of these scriptures together and just kind of pulling them together, and of course the days we're living in, of course the episode that happened last night, it's pretty amazing. I was actually watching that live when it happened, you know, and I just never thought I would see something like that, you know, an attempt on a former president's life. And to just see the trauma and everything that's going along those lines. And I just remember just seeing that and just kind of, you know, if you were watching it or whatever, when you heard about it or whatever, and just kind of looking at it, it's just like all of a sudden, you know, you feel things, you think things, and your mind is going so many different directions. And it's just like turmoil, and it's very much like that. Your heart is overwhelmed, but you lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There is a place that we go, and what's interesting about it, I think, as a Christian, because we kind of know this stuff. We've probably seen some of these scriptures before, not new. But when life comes at us and we begin to see things, there is a certain Holy Spirit presence of mind that will come in and remind us of what we already know and to help us out. If any of you football fans out there are familiar, you might hear when a quarterback is dropping back to pass. He's got his play. This receiver is going to go there. That receiver is going to go there. And so you got this nice little play drawn up. But if they blitz, and for those of you who don't know what football is about, that's when they put a bunch of guys and they just bring a bunch of guys at you all at once. They don't care about even covering guys. They're just going to sack the quarterback. When that happens, then they've got a little contingency for that too. You know, usually there'll be a little guy that they're going to dump a pass off to. But when you're getting blitzed and everybody's coming at you, and I would imagine I've never been a quarterback, but to see these guys and they're getting paid to take you out, you know, that's they get bonuses and increases if they sack you, okay? So they've got blood in their eyes as they're coming after you. And that quarterback who all of a sudden has all these guys in his face can have the presence of mind to say, oh, yeah, I got that little contingency running back I can just dump it over to. And sometimes you'll see the really good quarterbacks, they have that presence of mind that when the blitz is on, they remember something. And sometimes those are some of the most powerful plays that'll happen because everybody's already committed, and now that little running back, you know, can take it, could score a touchdown, who knows. But the key is that quarterback has a presence of mind. I know bad things can happen. I know my heart can be overwhelmed, but here we are in the moment. And there's something that even as believers, as Christians, it's like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I can pray. You know, I can touch God. I can reach out. I can impact right now things that are going on the earth with my prayers, reaching out to God. This world is changing fast. Have you noticed that? I mean, man, since 2020, I think, especially since the pandemic, there's just a lot of things that are just in motion. You can feel, it's like there's been different trajectories, but things are amping up, and it can be very tempting to get focused in on what's going on in the world, but the word that kind of comes through these scriptures, looking to the Lord, His peace is with us. He doesn't change, even though this world is changing. And this is where we're going, our changing world and our unchanging God, okay? Our faith is rooted in the things that can't be shaken, that can't be changed by man. Our faith is rooted in the unchangeableness of God. And as things are changing in the world, we need to be focused on the unchangeableness of God. Those are the things that will root us and ground us. If we put our hope, and sometimes this can be a tell in our own lives, how much our heart can be attached to things that are shakable. You know, even people, leaders, ministers, you know, there's no, you know, God, ultimately, your faith in Him, in His Word, we put our trust in Him. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the rock that is higher than I. And so this morning, we're going to kind of look at, now I guess you could kind of subtitle this, Running to the Rock that is Higher than I. But what I like about that picture right there is you see the waves at the base of that rock. The waves represent change, waves of change, waves, blowing winds. But there is a stability and there is a strength in God. I can attach my heart to the things of God that don't change and have stability during these times. So as we're looking at our changing world, our changing God, we're going to look at some of these different aspects of our unchanging God that we look to during these times. First of all, God's unchanging love. And I love His unchanging love, especially when it comes in the context of events that are going on in our world and in our day. This is a couple powerful passages of Scripture. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Yes. You know, if you fell and you're wondering, can I get back up again? Yes, you can. You never have to wonder about that. His mercy endures forever. You can get back up. He hasn't cast you off. He loves you. He's still for you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Praise God. This is a powerful call to mercy and repentance as a nation. If things are going on a national level, the first thing we need to do is say, Father, okay, I'm hitting my knees. I'm praying for the nation, but I'm doing my own heart check. I'm doing my own heart check and saying, God, forgive me. I'm sorry, I'm repenting from my junk. I'm repenting from my stuff. I want my heart to be clear. You know, sometimes when things will happen in the world, you can just sense a deep calling into deep immediately. It's like, oh, I want clarity. I'm not here to point a finger. I'm here to be clear in my heart and humble my heart before God and get my heart right. You know, there are things that God wants us to be able to do in the earth and move in the earth, but I'll tell you what, it's got to be right here first. Right? I mean, you might see different little political narratives and ideologues playing out on the political realm, but I'll tell you what, that battle goes on inside your own heart and mind every day too. You have personal choices that you make between the spirit and the flesh every day. And it's when we begin to choose to live for God, to humble ourselves, get our own hearts clear, and live for God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. There's a clearing of ourselves, and then whatever we say, then whatever comes out of our heart has an anointing and a grace and a sincerity and a genuineness. But when I begin to see things like this, the first thing I want to do is say, Lord, I want to get clear in my own heart. I'm not here to point fingers. I am here to repent and humble myself under your mighty hand. There is nothing like being in fellowship with God and knowing you're in fellowship with God. I can tell you one thing, it doesn't make you critical. It makes you grateful. Every day you wake up grateful for the mercy that endures forever on your life. And when you're like that servant that looks at the king who forgave him his $1 million debt and never leaves that place but just says, thank you for forgiving me the $1 million debt. Every day, you're not going to be strangling the brother that owes you the 20 bucks. It's staying in front of his mercy that endures forever, staying and keeping that sweet, humble heart. How does that work in our life when our heart is overwhelmed? If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Praise God and knows all things. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and knows everything. If we confess our sins, look at this. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. That has nothing to do with our feelings at all. His faithfulness. My feelings can be shaken. His faithfulness can't. So in our changing world, as I'm looking for my unchanging God, our unchanging God in this changing world, as I'm looking at his unchanging faithfulness to forgive me and to cleanse me from that unrighteousness, he'll do two things. He'll forgive you of your sins, and that's a conjunctive word, putting two separate thoughts together. And we need both of these thoughts, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing from all unrighteousness is where it's talking about your conscience. In Hebrews, it says, the blood of Christ will cleanse your conscience from dead works so that you may serve the living God. So when I do this, and I, repenting, called by his name, humbling myself, I say, Father, I did it, I said it, it was wrong, please forgive me. I receive it, you're faithful, and I receive your cleansing from that unrighteousness. That's by faith, I receive that cleansing. That's what only the blood can do. I can't read enough scripture to cleanse my conscience from dead works. It's grace. And I just sensed this morning, that there is a word here for someone or some of you, receive the forgiveness. Don't try to do other things. Just receive that forgiveness. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I don't set aside the grace of God. If righteousness, if the cleansing of my conscience came any other way, then Christ died for nothing. In other words, when Jesus was in Gethsemane and he was praying, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. What was he saying about? If there's any other way, they can receive forgiveness and cleansing. You know, yes, Jesus, just tell them to read 5 chapters of the Bible. No, there's nothing we can do or add to it. And this is where it is so powerful, because as long as you attach your forgiveness to a feeling of forgiveness, you're in shifting sand. When you begin to declare by faith, I did it, I said it, I received, on the cross was that. Where my sin has abounded, his grace is much more abounded. I receive it. I'm moving on today by faith. I'm not going to hold it against myself anymore. No matter who might still try to hold it against me, God isn't holding it against me, and I don't hold it against myself anymore. There's nothing to work through as far as that goes. I'm forgiven. Amen. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. I don't have to complicate the Word of God. I just need to, by faith, embrace the Word of God. He's just saying that. He's saying that as a word this morning. To receive that. To move on. When the enemy brings that back, you fight the good fight of faith. And you say, yeah, I did it. I said it. But Jesus took it. And I received his forgiveness for it. And I'm forgetting those things that are behind. Because I can forget those things that are behind. Because Jesus bore it. These are important points when we're talking about a changing world, because I'll tell you the first thing that a changing world comes for is compromise in our own heart. And if we're playing games in our own heart, we can reach for things that can make you feel better, but we don't want to feel better here. We want peace. We want a sense that, okay, it is well with my soul. It is right with God. I love the song we sang, the classic hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And when I say great is thy faithfulness, he is faithful and just. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with you. You change not, your compassions fail not. As you have been, you forever will be. Great is your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness. That's where I'm attaching my heart to his faithfulness, to his goodness. There's a humbling yourself under his mighty hand. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, Just get in fellowship with God. Just get to where, okay, Lord, I know I'm a work in progress. I know I got stuff to do, but all I know is that I want you. I want your heart. I want my heart to be right with you, you know? And that's such a beautiful place. It is a sweet, vulnerable place that the Holy Spirit meets us at and takes us by the hand and walks us through. And, you know, I think one of the great scriptures, culminating scriptures that addresses this is just the question, the big one. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Think of how you feel as we read this verse. Think of your feelings as it relates to this verse, and then think of the argument that's being made. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, wow, that's a big spectrum, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. I'll tell you, that is one of the big aspects of our unchanging God, is his unchanging love. Getting back into his love, receiving his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, and then from that place, my goodness, walk with him. Be restored in your relationship with him. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. How does the world give? The world gives a very feeling-oriented peace that when the high runs off, whatever it is, the peace is gone. This is a peace that'll pass your understanding. This is a peace that'll cause you to just know I'm in fellowship with God. It is well with my soul. My heart is in right relationship with God. That's what he does. That's what his love does. It secures us to our walk with him. The other aspect of just the unchangeableness of God is God's unchanging word. And we see some very clear declarations throughout God's word about his word. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Jesus said, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. That's just really powerful. And when you would hear Jesus talking too, his respect for the word of God. Sometimes people will argue, there's a big theological world called bibliology, all right? That's the study of the Bible. What do you believe about the authority of Scripture? You know, people have different ideas, even as Christians. Some people believe that, you know, the Bible contains the word of God and it contains the word of man, and it's up to us to decide and pick and choose what really is God and what isn't God, all right? And then there's another theory that'll say the word of God becomes the word of God, you know, when we see it or when we realize it. And then there's the other classic traditional version that I believe Jesus exemplified, that the Bible is the word of God in its completeness, in its entirety. It would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Jesus, when he was arguing with the Pharisees, he said, man, we know the scripture can't be broken. Over and over, he said, we got to do these things that the scripture may be fulfilled. You can see his reverence for the word of God. That's powerful. God comes in the flesh, and you see his respect for the written word of God. Even when he's being attacked by Satan, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The respect that Jesus gave the word of God. The word, oh man, this is the big one that can ground us when things get crazy in the natural realm, when things get crazy in our world, because the word of God doesn't change. And I know we live in a world that does change, right? And that's why we're admonished even as believers. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why is that? The pattern of the world is in continual change. Even the morality of the world is constantly changing. It's 20 years from now, the world is going to look back at this time and say, how insensitive, how could you even thought of? People who are really trying to have a good worldly morality are going to be guilty. They might not realize it right now. But if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, that constant changing morality, you know, based on pop culture. We don't define morality by pop culture. We define morality by the word of God. Because 20 years from now or 1,000 years from now, the word is going to read the same way. It's unchanging. It's not unchanging in a harsh, critical way. It's unchanging in a protective way that divides our soul and our spirit and calls out flesh that's flesh and sin that's sin and spirit that's spirit in a way that protects us. When you got the Spirit of God who inspired the Word of God, you see that, you know it. But there's a certain respect that we have for the Word of God, I'm telling you what, that will begin to relieve fear in a powerful way. So let's see what the Word of God says that doesn't change. Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Wow, that's good to know. Our Lord said that. One thing I know for sure, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that our Lord Jesus Christ is building. That is not something I have to wonder about or worry about. I do my part and pray, but I know the result. I know we win. I know the church will not be defeated. The church will not go under. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Why is that important? Because then when you begin to pray, you're praying from a place of victory. You're praying from a place of assurance. I know, no matter how bad it looks, the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. I'm praying from a place. I'm praying from a place of assurance. I'm praying from that place of victory, of knowing, that confident assurance. I remember, it is written, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a Wimbledon match, Breakfast at Wimbledon, is going on right now. I'm not sure who's winning, but I know that it's one of those things where what I'll do is I'll go back, you know, home this afternoon, and depending, I'll probably see, you know, I'll see what it is probably before I watch it a lot, you know, try to watch it, you know, from its entirety from 8 o'clock when it started. But what'll happen is I'll kind of see who won. That's fine. And I remember doing this before. It was a few years back, and it was Roger Federer, who was the guy I'd always cheer for, tennis-wise. And I remember seeing the box score, and he won. I thought, oh, cool, great. But I remember going back then and watching a replay of the match. And I'm seeing this match going on, and I'm really getting into it. And they got one of these deuces that is going, like, for 15, 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, he's got to win this deuce. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know, but it looks like he could lose, you know. And you get into the emotion of the thing, and it's like, I forgot that I know that he's going to win. And I'm just, like, getting nervous. I could feel myself, come on, no, wait, no, he does win, right? And it's funny how that can be, because you have knowledge, but yet you're still in the moment, you know. And sometimes when you're in the moment, you got to shake yourself and remember you got knowledge here and comfort yourself. I know he wins. Well, you know what? The church wins, all right? The church does win. There is an eternal state. Satan is vanquished to the lake of fire forever. That really does happen. We're not hoping we're duking it out and we win in the end. We're not hoping to win in the end. We know we win in the end. And we pray from that place. There is a fix. We live in a very changing world, but we have an unchanging God who's given us his word that cannot change, that cannot fail. He's not just the Alpha who started this whole thing. He's the Omega. He has the ability to operate outside of time. He's seen it from this vantage point. That's pretty powerful. He's the Omega. Oh, man. And it is important during these days to remind ourselves of that. We serve the Alpha and the Omega. And the Omega has declared that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So I'm not praying from a place of I hope we win. I'm praying from a place, thank God we win, Lord. Show me how to pray. Show me how to, your Omega foresight of our winning, show me my part in that. But he's out ahead, outside of time. And he's showed me that. I got a part to play in that. I'm his good workmanship, created in Christ for good works. He's ordained me to walk in. Yeah, as the Omega, he ordained me to walk in some things that are going to cause some of these things to come to pass. That he saw it. It's like, okay, Lord, show me my part. But I'm praying in faith. I'm praying in victory. I'm praying with hope, you know, in my heart, seeing that. That's why it is important to stir ourselves up in that. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he was in you is greater than he was in the world. Little children, you're of God, you belong to him, and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. This is another powerful reminder as we are going through these times, is to just remember, it is written, he who is in you is greater. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Jesus said, it is better for you that I go. Probably a hard thing for those disciples to believe in the moment. It is better for you that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. If I do go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. It means you're never going to be alone again. He's going to abide with you forever. He's going to be an anointing in you that causes you to know all things. What you need to know, when you need to know it. Supernatural knowing. He's going to be a strength in you through which you can do all things. A supernatural strength. He's going to manifest the presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said he'll take the things of me and he'll show them unto you. In these days, we need to remember that we're not alone, that we have the Holy Spirit with us, and he's greater than he that's in the world. And it is amazing to me when something happens and I just sense I'm not afraid. I don't know what to do next. All I know is inside, I'm not afraid. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I don't have to know what to do next to not be afraid. That's the whole point of a peace that passes your understanding. The understanding is not the engine. The understanding is the caboose. Faith in the grace and faith in the power of God is the engine. The understanding will come later. But I don't need understanding to have permission to have peace. I'm putting my trust, my faith in those things that can't be shaken. He that is in you is greater than he that is in this world. I remember relating to our Door of Life family. It was actually New Year's of 2020. And all, like every good preacher, you're trying to figure out what's your 2020 theme going to be. You know, and you know, 2020, that sounds like a good visionary type thing. Or, you know, you kind of do some goofy spiritualized things and make a sermon out of it. I don't know. But so I'm doing, you know, I'm just going to figure, what's that 2020 theme going to be? And we were just traveling back, I think, from Tulsa because we'd visited our kids for Christmas. And I was in the hotel room and I'd fallen asleep and, you know, just fell asleep on the bed. And all of a sudden, I just had this dream that I was in a park on a beautiful day, just like today, just shiny park. And there was this, you know, just green everywhere. And there was like this little, almost like a horseshoe, if you will, of like a walk there. And there was, and as I was walking, kind of the first part of this horseshoe walk, I'm just walking on this sunny day in my sleep, in my dream. All of a sudden, I just see this crowd of people all of a sudden just panicked and worried, saying, come over here, come over here. And all of a sudden, they were showing me something. I could just see like all of a sudden just this commotion. And I'm going, what's going on here? And they're saying, what are we going to do about this? Now, this is the thing about a spiritual dream sometimes. You may or may not get very specific things in that dream, or you just get an idea or a heart of something. And all I remembered was, in the moment in the dream, I know I knew what that specific thing was. When I woke up, I couldn't pull back what that specific thing was. All I knew is there was a real global reason to be afraid. And in that moment, I just sensed the Spirit of God speaking to my heart, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In that moment. And all of a sudden, what are we going to do? I could just hear people asking me what we were going to do. And I just remember saying, I just, this peace coming over me, just saying, it's going to be fine. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I'm not worried about that. God has got a plan. God is working. God is doing things. But I've got peace in the middle of this situation. He is greater than he that is in the world. It's like no matter what that is, you know, if you got X and X is the world and Y is God, God is greater than X. Y is greater than X. And so it was like, okay. And I remember waking up and thinking, wow, that was kind of an interesting little dream. And I fell back to sleep again in my dream. And I, this is just never happens. And I kept, I dreamt again. And I, and as I was in my dream, I was, I saw myself going to that next, kind of toward the top of the little roundabout thing. And it was a whole nother, completely different thing. That, what are we going to do about this situation? Oh no. And it was different. It was unique. But yet the power, the strength, the answer was the same. It was just that word, the Spirit spoke. He that is in you is greater than he that's in this world. And there was a peace that just came over me and said, it's going to be all right. He that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. God is going to minister. God is going to take care of this situation in a powerful way. And I just remember finding that peace that he left with me in the dream. And I woke up. And I drifted off to sleep. And I had that third one. Now, I don't know that I believed this, but I checked my Fitbit that I wore. And I saw all three times I woke up and I was sleeping. And I did. And the third time I was, it was like I continued that third venue. It was like three venues of completely different world traumatic events going on, and it was the same thing. It was so ironic. Then the third time it was like, no matter how much things change, things stay the same. The point wasn't this situation or that situation, this situation. The God was saying, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. It doesn't matter what the world is throwing at you, Ed. I'm greater than he that's in this world. The boogeyman in the world has to bow his knee to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That name is above every name in this world and in that which is to come. His name is Jesus Christ. And my faith and my trust and my confidence is in that name. It's in that peace. And he's greater than he that is in this world. No matter what the world throws at me, there's one thing that always remains true. Our unchanging God has said in his unchanging word that he that is in you is greater than he that is in this world. Read the box scores. Go back to the box scores. Stir yourself up, the scripture says, in the Holy Spirit. Stir yourself up on your most holy faith. That sometimes that's all we've got to do. Go back and read those things. Get stirred up in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come from having theologically known something. It's actively hearing the word of God. And there is that effective stirring yourself up. Then finally, I just love this wonderful, majestic conclusion. What should we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right, this is talking about Jesus, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Isn't that good to know? The same Jesus who interceded for Peter before his failure, that would he'd be restored to strengthen his brother. That same Jesus, that same shepherd heart, ever lives now to make intercession for me and you as his church. He knows our individual roles as we're walking out his plan in our life, you know, his plan for our lives, and he's interceding for us. He is there for us. We have an unchangeable word with these unchangeable promises. These are the things that we go back, that we stir ourselves up in. And then finally, I just want to say God's unchanging plan. There's a lot of things that go on, and we thank God for the word, we thank God for the Spirit, as we're navigating different things in the drama of the world. But the thing that we got to most keep track of, the big picture of this whole thing, is why we're here. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's our Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Boy, we see the Father heart of God here. You know, we've got a missions program at Door of Life, and I'm so excited when we can hear Mona encourage us what's going on halfway around the world and some of the different works and things that are going on. And I'll tell you what, it's powerful to realize that we've got that kind of a reach, but we all have to kind of stop and realize ourselves that we as the body of Christ are on a missions trip to this earth. Do you know our citizenship is in heaven? Ultimately, that this earth, this world will be folded up like a garment someday? That this is not the eternal here, the natural physical world? It'll be glorified one day. But our citizenship is in heaven. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. I know in your mind it's like, how can I go there? That's your home. That's where you belong. That's where your mansion's prepared. You belong there. It's your home. But you're still here. Why am I still here? Well, the same reason generations stayed here to get you part of that family. You're here for this generation and to impact future generations. That's kind of love, isn't it? That's love. This is how we're like our Lord. We're down here in that sense. We lay down our lives so people can know the gospel. Jesus took persecution to go to that cross to get that word out. We take persecution not to get a victim complex. We're here for that. We're all a part of this. No matter what you do in the body of Christ, no matter what your vocation is, if you're a believer, you're all part of that commission. We're all part of seeing people come into the kingdom of God. And there is nothing in the world like seeing somebody get born again, give their heart to Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, this call, when I see the world, and this going, and this has to be defeat this, and this has to, here's our big picture agenda. We're here to go into all the world to get people saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, this world is unchanging. This world needs God. But God so loved the world, and we so love the world in that sense. Not that, you know, don't love the world or the things of the world, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. I'm not talking about that kind of loving the world, but I'm talking about loving the world. Even while we were sinners, he loved us. Even while people are still sinners, we're called to love them too. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Tax collectors, sinners can love those who love them. We're called to be like God, to reach this world with the love of Jesus Christ. This is big picture. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, all kings who are in all authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we read that first part, you know, yeah, we got to pray for those who are in authority, quiet and peaceable life. Why? It's a means to another end. God wants all people to get saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We want peace. We want peaceful discord in our politics in this nation. We don't want bloodshed. We don't want a bunch of evil, horrific things going on, because once you get into that leaven of strife, the only thing that can unleaven it is the love and the Spirit of God. I mean, that's it. And we need peace. We pray for peace. Why? We pray for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. That's what we pray for our nation. We pray for peace and grace. Why? God desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. My goodness. The Lord, this is all about souls. I know this time of year it seems like it's all about votes, but it's all about souls to the Lord. He's not willing that any soul should perish. He's counting souls. He wants people to come to the kingdom of God. He's more concerned about their soul than their vote. Are you? Am I? That's the heart of God. He loves people. He loves sinners. While we were sinners, he loved us. I'll tell you what, Satan wants to get the church so spitting mad at the world that we want to call down fire on him. To which Jesus would say, you don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. We need to have that heart. Yeah, we navigate this world stuff, but we're down here with the heart of God to love the world, to love them, to see through their whatever exterior it might be, whatever that is, to see through to a heart and to a soul that God loves. I remember for me, when I had a friend who was did the street witnessing thing, and I was like, street witnessing, not my thing, all right? But I was like, you know, I want to follow you, Steve, just to see kind of what you do and just get your heart. It's a good thing. It's right. We want to witness, but it's like, I'm kind of more, anyway, the Lord challenged me, said, don't call it not your thing, Ed. Go out and check it out. And as I went out with him, I learned some powerful things about street witnessing. And we were coming up to this guy. You know, people have just different reactions. We came up to this one guy in the street, and he looked at us with just contempt, anger. You could just see the veins in his neck popping. Because, you know, Steve just said, hey, do you know that you can have the assurance that you're going to go to heaven when you die? And he just looked at him right away and just said, with his finger, you're one of those who know you're going to go to heaven when you die. Let me tell you what I think of you. You know, he was just like, just in his face. And Steve just immediately was like, oh, that's okay, sir. Hey, sorry, just wanted to, you know, share some good news. You just have a great day. Bless you. Just have a good rest of your day. And immediately Steve just turned around and just started praying for the guy. And just started, you know, walking away, but just very graciously bring closure. And I'm there, you know, I'm wanting to argue with the guy about what Steve meant when he said he could go to heaven. You know, it's not like we're arrogant that we think we're all that, but I'm just like, you know, and I'm just like, I'm just following Steve, so I'm following Steve, all right, that's what we do. But, you know, I'm just wanting to, you know, Steve was, and here was the deal. He left, and then what he did is, as he was praying for the guy, he walked across the street to a bus stop where there were three brothers and immediately approached them and got all three of them saved. I mean, it was like within 5 minutes, he had three young men praying a prayer of salvation. If that's me, I'm still arguing with the guy. If it would have been me, I would have still been fighting with the guy, and I'd have missed that. But Steve wasn't about winning a fight or winning an argument. He was about sharing the good news and seeing where people who had ears to hear and then going on. That's an amazing, beautiful, wonderful heart that doesn't take itself so seriously, just the love of God. You know? God desires men to be saved. It's a beautiful reminder of why we're here. When we look at the TV, and you want to call down fire on your TV sometimes, that's a good signal. God came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them, to begin to pray for the people you see on the TV. Bless them. Do good. Pray. I'm telling you what, I'm thankful for people that have prayed for me, the people that prayed out ahead of people that came to the Lord. Jesus said, pray this way. The harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And that's what we do. We pray, Lord, send out laborers. Lord, send me. Show me my part, you know, in this great plan that you have. Our changing world and our unchanging God. We've got an unchanging love. I'm telling you what, when things begin to change, one of the first things I like to do is start with Ed House. Lord, here I am. I just want to clear my heart from bad motives, bad things. I just humble myself under your mighty hand. I receive that forgiveness. Boldly I approach your throne. We were singing about it all morning. Boldly we approach it. Why? Because of the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to set aside the grace of God. I'm going to embrace the grace of God, receive my forgiveness, receive my cleansing. And when it cleanses you from all unrighteousness, that restores your righteous spine again to be able to pray in faith. Not because you're perfect, but because you are cleansed. You are right with God. There is something, again, about being in fellowship with God. It's righteousness. That righteousness is a gift by which we reign in life with that backbone that only comes through the grace of God. God's unchanging word. We thank God for his promises. We do read the back of the book. We do win. We do remind ourselves of those box scores. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's right there, printed, box score. We are praying from that place. We're not hoping we win in the end. We know that we win in the end because we know that God's word is unchangeable and true and it's sure. And so we have faith in that. We let that faith encourage us. We let his word encourage us. We have that power and that strength that is greater than he that is in the world. Isn't that an amazing thing? People fighting for superiority and influence in this world. Superior influence and the lengths that they'll go to win the battle of influence so I can get more people. And all the while, you don't have, even have to play that game. You don't have to play the influencer game. All you do is listen on the inside. Lord, you show me what to pray. You show me how to move. And you will very quietly be influencing things in a way that you'll get no glory for down here. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we got weapons of our warfare. And we can quietly and Holy Spirit wield them as God shows us what to do and how to do it. Praise God. We have his unchanging word, his unchanging promise that he is for us and his unchanging plan. We're down here to win souls. We're not down here to fight the world. We're down here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't be intimidated by the world. We got to overcome the world, but we're here to reach the world. And that's the heart, the plan, as we are dealing with all this weirdness in our world and different things like that. Don't let it make you hate and be bitter against the world in a way that closes your heart off to the world. We have to maintain that sweet spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God that just reminds us, Lord, that we are in this world, but we are not of it. And I just pray that these different ways that we've looked at this morning would be reminders of how we are not of it. We are citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong there. We are perfectly loved by you. Nothing can separate us from that love. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith. If your heart can agree, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I look to you this morning. I will not be afraid. This world is changing every day, but you do not change. You stay the same. Your love stays the same. No matter how disappointed I may be at myself, your love is the same. Your throne of grace is there. I will not set aside your grace. I need your forgiveness. I receive it again. I get back up because you love me. And I go forth because your word is true and your spirit lives in me. No matter what this world may throw at me, you are greater. Your wisdom is greater, and your peace is greater. And your word says, the gates of hell will not prevail. I see that box score. You are the Omega. The headline has been written. I encourage myself in your victory. And I thank you, Father, that you've made me a part of your hands, of your feet, to reach this world, to keep a heart of compassion, and to show the love of Jesus, to love people the way you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So, yeah, I know that's a few different food groups this morning as we're looking at this idea of not being shaken by the world, but we need those different facets as we're keeping our hearts grounded in the unchangeableness of God. We need His love to secure us. We need His promises to encourage us, and we need that sweet spirit of His heart to keep outward toward the world, that compassion. Amen. Praise God.